Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
City podcast.
All right, so today is a special day. We talking about the first two episodes of the Star Wars: The Acolyte, aka The Acolyte. All right, we got thoughts. We got many things to say. You know, it's the resident Star Wars guy. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, I have to hit you up with the legal spiegel before I say any more. The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
All right, so this should be dropping on a Monday. We plan to drop bi-weekly episodes of The Acolyte every 2 weeks, obviously, on Mondays. So this will be a nice lead-in to the next episode, well, the next two episodes of The Acolyte. So we're going to do episodes 1 and 2, episodes 3 and 4, episodes 5 and 6, and then episodes 7 and 8. So our weekly, or in this case, bi-weekly episode reviews are different from our movie reviews. We typically like to catch you up on what you need to know, have the pulse of the people, quick, very brief breakdown of characters you need to know, key plot points, decisions. Then from there, we go into our MVP or op of the week, big questions of the week that lead into the next week, and then predictions, and then also a big picture view of it. So with that, if you kind of want a taste of it in the Star Wars universe, we did Ahsoka weekly reviews for that. And then we also did Secret Invasion, which got kind of out of pocket towards the end. So with that, Meech, what do we need to know for The Acolyte, considering the fact that this is set hundreds of years before most of the canon events?
All right. So The Acolyte takes place at the end of the High Republic era of Star Wars, which is a period that's set between like 500 years before the events of episode one, all the way through to 100 years before episode one. Now, in the case of this series, it takes place 100 years. So it's the very end of the High Republic era. This is an era where in which the Sith are not around at all. Spoiler alert. So essentially the Jedi were at the height of their power, and they basically go through a myriad of different events throughout the entire High Republic era. But because of this, at least as of right now, you will not see any, it's completely detached from the Skywalker saga. You ain't gonna see no Qui-Gons, no Anakins, no Ahsokas, as far as I know. As a matter of fact, the only person who could potentially appear is Yoda.
That crossed my mind for a second.
Yeah, that's it. Yoda's the only one who can potentially appear, considering how long his species lives and his age. That's the only potential you have. So it's completely separate. So you can go into it with like almost with zero knowledge, considering this has nothing but brand new characters so far.
Yeah, so I like that. Just like, it's kind of a fresh take. It's one of the few shows where I feel like you don't need to like watch seasons upon seasons of different, or like watch so many movies just to kind of catch up and kind of know what's going on, like previous products that dropped with Star Wars. So if you're even new to Star Wars in a sense, you can kind of like hop in and be just like fresh with it. So with that, we're going to transition into the pulse of the people. So this is just a general feel about the show from the populace, fans, critics from it. It's kind of interesting because like we always try to check on it, but right before we record, so we kind of don't, you know, infect our own just like opinions of the show. But what have you kind of got a sense for?
So I've gotten a pretty much a big split from the people. So like the critics loving it, the critics are loving the show, but like the people are kind of like it's kind of crazy considering the fact that like when it comes to like most Star Wars related things, it'd usually either be the other way around or it'd be a case where both absolutely agree in the case of the sequels, that things are not not as upbeat. But this is a case where the fans are not liking it, but the critics are. Most critics think like, yeah, this is like a, you know, a good fresh take. Like, it's, again, as we mentioned, detached from all the previous lore. So it's like, it's just a way to just experience Star Wars without having to go into, as you mentioned, like the minutia and go into a million different backstories of certain characters, going like, okay, who are you? Oh, great. Now I need to watch all the Clone Wars just to figure out who you are.
Yeah.
Type deal. But then there's the fans who are like, man, this is like a slow show, man, the dialogue extra clunky and just all that. And they're just doing complaints, which to me says like, man, you can't please a Star Wars fan anymore.
No, for me, I've gotten the same sense, but it's been more, I would say 60-40 positive and then 40 negative in a sense. I have some kind of feelings about particularly the first episode, but that we'll get into later. But overall, I've been seeing positive, throwing out the weirdness. Like, again, whenever people see diversity and like nerd stuff, they just kind of lose their minds, because there was like the Rotten Tomatoes where a lot of people were review bombing and just like, you know, creating new accounts and stuff. But like with some of the fights that we've seen, a lot of people enjoyed that. One thing that I do kind of enjoy is the fresh take on it. So I think for a lot of Star Wars fans that are kind of locked into everything and they know this lore and they know that not having that like a safety net, they can't really gatekeep this episode. But it's also going to be kind of difficult for people with the Acolyte to kind of adjust, because with Ahsoka, a lot of that is based on a lot of hype from Rebels and like how much people love Ahsoka, and then Hayden Christensen coming at Obi-Wan, same situation. Even with Andor, like people, Rogue One is like to me the best Star Wars movie. I know it, like not the like the top nine out of it, but to me Rogue One is my favorite Star Wars product ever. So Andor being different and everything, but I think that's what's going to be difficult for some long-time Star Wars fans to adjust. But overall, I would say it's positive. People are going to give it a chance. So with that, let's get into the review.
Oh, actually, before we get into the review, I just want to say, hey, you want to rip off the Band-Aid when it came to the the racial aspect?
Let's go. Are you wearing it?
All right. So yeah. So there's this one thing that I do want to mention, and it was like, I saw it on X, formerly known as Twitter, where it's like, oh yeah, so we're talking about how the main actress, Amandla Stenberg, she's like, yeah, it looks like she's setting out to upset a white male. Oh man, this is gonna be a horrible Star Wars project. This is gonna be crazy. And then if you took 2 seconds to look at what she said, it wasn't even for the Acolyte.
It was not.
Like, literally, like, if you look at that post that some dude mentioned, I'm not going to say what race he was, but you can kind of guess what he was. But essentially, he was like, she's setting out to upset the male population. And you're just like, and you look at the interview, it's like, no, she's actually talking about the hate you give, which obviously is going to upset that specific population. Because it's a completely different franchise, and now he's trying to like apply as Star Wars to create some type of outrage and cancel culture. So yeah, to you, all I say is go touch some grass, bruh. Stop trying to create some type of hatred just because you feel in some type of way.
Literally every time. So yeah, we touched on it when we were with Obi-Wan and how they treated Moses. So we don't have to go any further.
All right. So now that we got that out of the way, let's go ahead and talk about episode one. Titled Lost/Found. All right. So when we get started off with this episode, we start off with a hooded figure with braids coming in, and then she pulls up on Jedi Master Trinity. Oh, sorry, my bad. Jedi Master Indara.
I mean, she wasn't in the episode long enough to be called Indara.
You're right. She was literally named later, but yeah, Jedi Master Trinity And they pull up and they just start scrapping. And this is probably one of the best aspects that you don't see enough is just the Jedi or Force users just fighting out with hands.
Yeah.
Without the need of the lightsaber, which I'm like, man, can I incorporate that into the choreography? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, they're just using the Force to help guide their movements and just create all out fight hand with hands. And then eventually, right, unfortunately, the assailant, if you will, decides to say, okay, let's use the Jedi's compassion against you, throws a knife at one of the patrons who's to the bartender, which I'm like, bruh, you should have been left at this point. And then while Jedi Master Trinity blocks that with the Force, she gets impaled in the chest with the blade.
That was a cool character moment to be like, oh, the Jedi love to protect people. So while you're trying to protect him, because I know what you're going to do, I'm going to attack you with that. So I thought that was pretty smart, high level assassin moves.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, I got to talk about, since obviously Trinity got taken out immediately, 5 minutes into the show, they literally promoted her all throughout the accolade.
I'm not even gonna, she's actually was even on the poster.
Yes.
Crazy. Trinity got taken out.
If you go to Disney Plus and you click on the episode, it's the character that plays Osha / May, and then it's Trinity, and then it's the guy from Squid Game. So it's wow, you took her out already, but we can move further.
Yep. So and also she apparently recognizes who this person is. She's like, oh, it's you, and then dies. But then it cuts over to seemingly that same person on a ship. She's kind of a repair woman with her droid, and they're out repairing a ship. She's repairing the field, and then she comes back and she's confronted by two Jedi, Mr. Yord Fandar, which I'm just like, man, again? And you wanna know why I'm saying again? Because why is it that all the black people having the same hairstyle?
Sam had that light skin energy, I'm not gonna lie, throughout the first two episodes.
Oh, he really did. But again, I'm just wanna talk about the hairstyle.
Miles Morales.
No, the Killmonger. What you mean? What you mean? Ever since Killmonger, they've been spamming that hairstyle on every black person lately. Eddie Gordo in Street Fighter. Miles Morales. Now Yord Fandar. Come on, man.
But yeah, go ahead. Oh, just taking it from there. Essentially, she gets taken to a prison transport. With that, we flip back to the Jedi Temple. They're back on Coruscant, and we see Master Sol. He was close friends with Endara. He was the Jedi that trained Osha, which turned out she was a Jedi Padawan for a while, and he saved her from a burning fire on her planet, which was started by her sister, who was at this point presumably dead along with the rest of her family. So he's like, yo, there's no way that Osha killed Endara. Let me go find her. All right. So then we see Master Sol is sent out by Vernestra Rowe. With that, we go back to the prison transport. And Osha, the prisoners try to convince her to be part of the prison break. She isn't with it initially, but then she goes back to try to save someone who just completely disregards her, takes the escape pod for himself, and then he dips off. Turns out all of them literally got caught. So she crashes on the planet of Karlak. She has a kind of a dream where she's sensing her sister. I had a prediction at the end of this episode, which it turns out it's not. It may most likely won't be, but I kind of was getting the sense that it was going to be a Fight Club situation, because in it you saw how she was so you saw how she was talking to her sister, but there was a transition that happened where it was the ghost of her younger sister turned dark and then she woke up suddenly, and that was in this first episode she did that three times where she suddenly woke up, which is very close to someone with dissociative identity disorder, or if you just want to simplify it as split personality, where it's oh, you wake up and it's what happened. Even earlier in the episode, one of the other tech technical mechanic people say, hey, where were you last night? She's like, yo, I don't know. I was kind of busy. I had stuff to do. And so you're like, oh, she's obviously the assassin. But essentially, yeah. Then her master comes to look for her, and then that's close to the wrap up of the first episode.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just like, okay, like Master Soul, aka Master Zhang, asked him Li Zhongzhe, my goat. They confront each other on the pillar, and it's like, hey, literally my sister's alive, and it's like, my sister's alive. And he's like, all right, I believe you. And then let's go back to the ship. And then elsewhere. And then it cuts to elsewhere where you see May, a.k.a. the assassin. She meeting up with her master who just brandishes his red lightsaber. Is like, oh, yeah, it's time.
See, and even here, I kind of was still getting the Fight Club feel, because I was like, as long as I don't see them at the same time in the same timeline, I'm not falling for it, because okay, this could happen at a different time, even as they transition to episode 2, which we're about to, where she's about to assassinate Master Torben. I'm like, maybe this is a different timeline and it's still bait and switch. But we're going to transition into episode 2. The only other thing with episode 1, what is Master Soul's Padawan name? Because it's a 3-person team to hunt.
Oh, yeah. Russia. So her Padawan is named Jekylon.
Okay, Jekylon. All right, cool. So it's a 3-person team with Jekylon, the Padawan, Master Soul, and then Jedi Knight Yord Fandar, who is the friend of Osha. So transitioning into episode 2.
All right, so episode 2 cuts to May trying to come in, and she's like, all right, she's sneaking into the Jedi temple on Olega, which she does in spectacular fashion by getting the kid to to get the door open, and then bam, she sneaks in. She goes to Torben, who's meditating, and she's like, all right, I'm gonna kill you. And each time she tries, she getting backhanded by the Force, because Torben's in a meditative state, so he has the Force surrounding him, and it's completely impenetrable. And apparently he's been in that for over a decade. So, and then while that's happening, you got Osha and everybody else. They're like, hey, we don't know what's happening. And it's like, maybe she's going after these certain Jedi who were stationed on their home planet when May set the fire that killed everybody. And from there, it's like they go to Olega because, no, May failed the first time, so she dips. And it's like, hey, we noticed that somebody broke into the temple. All that's happening. And then Osha's she's connecting with Jackie, who's still suspicious of her. Your boy Yord out here shirtless, and he's even he's suspicious of her. It's
I told you, light skin energy.
He really was. Even to the point where Jackie was like, hey, put on your robes. nobody wants to see all that. I'm like, dang, gonna do the light skin that dirty. But they go to the temple, and then they're like, but then May goes to her supplier, if you will.
Yeah,
to her plug, Khmer.
Yeah.
All right, so Khmer, they're talking, hey, the master, he ain't gonna like that we collaborating like this. And May's like, this is nothing but, it's like, hey, his weakness, he's impenetrable. And they're like, hey, all Jedi have weaknesses, and the weakness for the Jedi is absolution. And he's like, dang. All Sith deals in absolutes. So she pretty much he pretty much creates a poison for her, and then she goes back. And at the same time, Osha and them, they get there, and they're like, oh yeah, she's the one that did it. And then they're like, nah, that couldn't have been her, because she was with us the entire time.
Yes. What I will say, kind of touching on Master Torben, and then in the first episode, how they're treating the Force I really love it. Like him having the force field, for lack of a better term, but force field while meditating, how they use it in combat instead of just like, oh, pull, push, electricity, we're good. That's how we use the force. But just kind of, that's interesting. So, again, something to explore outside of, now we live in a world where the Jedi aren't essentially at war, and then also they aren't being hunted / mostly exterminated. So I think there's going to be a lot of things that we can see. There was one thing in the trailer with one of the lightsabers that I'm not going to spoil, that let's just say it's about to get wild in a few episodes. So that's going to be fire. But I really love that they're kind of exploring the different aspects of it, which is, I definitely want to see more. One thing just kind of with that, we then transition into, now that they're on the planet, again, Osha sees the younger version of her sister kind of telling her, hey, follow me. And even still then, I'm like, maybe Osha still is like the op and not May. And then Yord ends up following her, unbeknownst to her. So we see, cutting back to May, she's talking to Master Torment, and she's like, yo, obviously I can't penetrate this field, but you can hear me. You're trying to retreat from, you know, find inner peace, yada yada yada, but what you really want, again, like the dude said, absolution. So she presents the poison that is specific to her planet, kind of giving her away later on in the show. And he finally, for the first time in a decade, opens his eyes. He's like, yo, I didn't want this to happen. What happened to happen? I feel so sorry for it. Let me take the poison. So now there's like that subplot of like, what actually happened on the planet? Did she really set fire, or did something else happen to it? So that's going to be an interesting subplot to go to. And then just kind of wrapping up that scene, Osha is the first person to find the vial. The rest of the Jedi come in and is like, hey, you have the vial. You were already accused of killing Master Andara. How are you going to like explain this? And then Yord pops and he's like, nope, she didn't do it. I followed her the entire time. He was already dead. So,
yep. And so they end up like coming up with a plan to be like, all right, let's go ahead and, do some spy work, if you will, where Osha, you pose as the assassin as May and go talk to, the plug. See whatever information you get out there. You're wearing a wire, so just make sure you don't get caught, you know what I'm saying? And all at the same time, I'm only gonna touch upon this briefly, is the fact that we finally got our first heavyset Jedi. So to all our heavier set folks out here, just be happy. Y'all got representation.
They did kind of have him as like the bumbling big guy in a sense. Trope.
And just a little bit, but
particularly to the later end of the episode, if we're thinking of the same younger dude, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
There was only one. But hey, y'all got y'all representation. But in any case, right? So yeah, she goes in posing as a sister. He's like, hey, what's up? Hey, I came to see you. Thank you for everything that's going on. He starts spilling just a little bit of information. Like, yeah, the master, he's gonna be real pleased about this. And then he immediately gets suspicious. Like, wait, hold on. Man, you look exactly like May. Dang, that's crazy. And then all the Jedi, they pull up and they're like, hey, it's like, what's the deal, my guy? Mm-hmm. You know, full interrogation mode now. And he starts snitching like crazy. He's like, she's trying to kill all the Jedi involved in the incident. She's going to be here. Just let me go. I wasn't even supposed to be here. You know what I'm saying? I was coerced into doing it.
One key thing that we slightly miss is that May is supposed to kill one Jedi without a weapon. So,
yes,
she wasn't technically supposed to use the poison.
Yes. So, good luck on how that's going to go.
Yeah, it's a small thing, but yeah, I just wanted to mention.
But yeah, it's probably going to come up again later. So they end up executing a plan where Osha, she's basically in the back, because Master Solo, he's like, hey, I know she wants to kill me. I'm going to go out of the bay, but you can't go out there and confront your sister. Like, this is a revenge. Like, you're going after her out of revenge, and I taught you better than that. And she's like, you ain't my master anymore. I'm like, dang, teach you what you ain't my daddy.
It was interesting because, like, since she was the one, May killed our family. She set the fire. But she's presumably, quote unquote, dead, learning that, I actually want to take out my sister. And then on the other side, we find out that May thinks that Osha is dead. And she's sad about that. And she's like, I got to take out the Jedi. So whatever happened when they get to the episode, probably 5 or 4, that's going to be a crazy episode.
Yep, sure is. It's going to be sad, too. So Master Soul, he pulls up on her. She tries to come at our boy, and he no-selling everything. He a true Jedi.
He survived the Squid Game.
Yes, he survived Squid Game. He is him. He better than Trinity.
Literally,
because he was able to take all of May's knives and like, that's crazy. Hey, if I wasn't a Jedi, I'd be a pickpocket specialist out this mug. And then he's like, no, let me just force stasis you, let me keep you
still. Oh, wow, that's what I'm talking about with like the force, like the way he was just like, just stay still real quick. I could have done this at the start of the fight if I wanted to. And then I'm going to read your mind in the middle of it.
Yep, he's like, he reads her mind and he's like, so this is your next target. But of course, like, then Yord comes in. And he's like, hey, it's wraps for you, my girl. Time for you to be arrested. And then she just smoke screens her way out. She's now May's running. And then she steals, after she gets ran over by a car, by a taxi, she pulls Grand Theft Auto, pulls the man out of the car, beats him for his money. Already immediate 5 stars. But then Osha comes in, looks at her, and like, May? And then May just looks at her like, you alive? And then, of course, Osha, she got the blicky, but she, I believe she deliberately misses.
I think so.
Like, she deliberately misses, and Osha just, May drives off. May drives off, and Master Soul, he looks at her, and he's like, did you let her go?
I wonder if May is going to interpret that as Osha turning against her, being influenced by the Jedi. And then, like you mentioned, I do think she let her go. But I wonder if May will interpret as that as like, my sister that I thought was dead is now trying to kill me. Oh, it turns out she was trained by the Jedi for 6 years. Jedi influence while I'm also being influenced by, the dark side. So.
Yeah, maybe. This might be a case of twin sisters. They gonna fight it out at the end. Don't know how they gonna do it, but hey, you may never know. But yeah, so essentially that happened. Like, she escapes, but then she confronts the plug. Like, hey, you set me up. I'm about to gut you like a fish. She's like, whoa, hey. I needed them off my back, but I promise you, I did not tell them where you were gonna go next though, because we know where Kel Naka, the next Jedi who was on that planet, where your target is. Mm-hmm. And he's on Kofar. I was like, okay, cool. So they go. Well, it looks like their next plan is to go to Kofar. And it cuts to Kofar where some bounty hunters, they look like, we got ourselves a nice target here today.
No, sir.
Looks behind them, see a giant Wookiee. He's like, oh, yeah, it's about to be free eats. It's about to be free eats. We about to get some good Wookiee skin, Wookiee fur out of this. We about to make me a fur belt. But then he's like, no. Force pulls the gun out of hands. Leave. Of course, he ain't say that. He does the Wookiee yell. I'm just,
yes.
I'm translating. And I'm like, leave now, or you about to be more folded than than my sheets.
And then he goes in this house, and that's the episode. So. One other thing, again, I like to say that bureaucracy is the enemy of progress. So Master Soul and then also Osha know where May is going next. But Vernestra is like, we need to have a meeting about what we need to do, even though we know where this assassin who has taken out 2 of our Jedi is going. So let's have a conversation first. So that's probably going to be kind of episode 3. We're going to get into predictions later, so I'm not going to say too much, but I just wonder how that's going to go, the push and pull of it. So with that, we can get into the MVP of the week.
All right. So In terms of my MVP, it goes none other than Master Soul. Master Soul, he a Master Li Zhongjing, straight out of Squid Game, shows why he won the Squid Game, you know what I'm saying? He's like, hold on, let me go ahead and talk this out. He doesn't go guns blazing first. He actually like, hey, let's actually investigate this. Like, and then he's like, hey, she's like vehemently saying it wasn't her.
Mm-hmm.
I believe her, and I'm gonna go ahead and take her with me, not as a prisoner. You know what I'm saying? Like, she ain't gonna be handcuffed and chained and all that. I was like, that's inhumane. Mm-hmm. And again, just connecting with this former Padawan and just like seeing all that and trying to right the wrongs, and at the same time showing that he is really him. It's like, if I wanted to put the paws on you, yes, I will.
Yes.
Like, and he my goat.
Same for me. He kind of stole the show in a sense. And then also the force, something that I remembered is like, remember the prison break when they were like interrogating, and the one dude that was crazy, he was like, oh, yada yada, she's evil, she's Sith, I can sense the evil in her. And he was like, hush your mind and tell me what I need to know. And homie was like fixed immediately. That was dope. So yeah, Master Saul, I'm definitely looking forward to. I wonder if he gets taken out. But something that I quickly wanted to also kind of talk about is that I wonder if this is kind of the start, since it's only 100 years before kind of the first episode, I wonder if this is the start of the Jedi becoming a political force that then leads to their downfall, because we saw how Vernestra was like, hey, let's keep this on the down low. We can't have a former Padawan being the one that's killing Jedi, because our enemies in the politics might use that against us to discredit the Jedi in this time of peace.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, when that scene happened, I had my hands thrown. I'm like, ain't this some... See, this is why y'all get taken out by Palpatine. It's like, it's just the fact like, oh yeah, let's go ahead and strategize, like, y'all know exactly what you need to do, go do it type of deals. Like, I feel like this is the exact type of thing that Anakin would have just 100% disregarded and just went it on his own. But yeah, so I guess like going into questions right now, I think one of my big questions is Soul in them, are they actually gonna go back and do the planning, or are they going to disobey orders and just go out and do it themselves?
Interesting.
Which considering how Soul and Osha have been these past two episodes, I'm thinking it's kind of likely, but then again, there's also Yord.
And also, Jackie, his Padawan, throughout the first two episodes, we saw she is very by the book. So I wonder if like she would be the op that's kind of like feeding Vernestra information, because like even with in the first episode, he had the holocron of Osha, and she's like, why are you? And Jackie was like, why do you still have that? The memories of the past like aren't very... It's going to lead into my question about the memories of the past. And then even like when she was arresting May, she was like, for the good of the Republic and yada, 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 like the whole recital thing. So I wonder if she might be like kind of like a spot, quote unquote, spy.
So you think it like maybe could be kind of like a mini Civil War type deal?
More like a tattletale. That's kind of by the book tattletale, where it's like Vernestra is like, hey, you know, Master Soul isn't like... he's emotionally invested. We shouldn't be emotionally invested in this. Can you tell me all of his movements? And she'll be like, oh, yes, Master Vernestra. So, yeah. I don't know if you have any other questions, but I do have one. We're kind of waited for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and think, like, again, my other question is Yoda potentially going to appear in this, considering how far into the series it is in the timeline? And then finally, like, hey, what's the deal with this Sith? Like, what's his angle? What's his game? And potentially is like, who is he? What is he? And what's his game plan? Is he about to establish the rule of two?
Interesting.
But yeah, those are some of my main questions as of right now.
My only main question is just because a lot of the first episode touched on it, is why is it such a creed for Jedi to be emotionless? Obviously, we saw what happened to Anakin and just like how his emotions played out. But even if we go to the Mandalorian and kind of like Grogu, and how his emotions are, even with the sequels, where kind of that interplay of the Force, like, why should Jedis be so emotionless? Because I feel like that's also what led to a lot of poor decisions later on in the series.
Oh, yeah, and that's a question I can answer immediately. Because of the fact that in the Jedi code, all their whole entire mantra is just peace, focus on the Force, and attachment. Like, it's not exactly just emotion, it's just being attached to something or someone, because that can potentially lead to the dark side. And in fact, if you listen to our episode on the philosophy of pain, hey, big plug, hey, go listen to that episode. We're talking about, like, hey, if you have the capacity of love, you also must be willing to bear the burden of hatred. And it's a similar deal here, or at least in terms, at least from the viewpoint of the Jedi, that, hey, if you're attached to somebody, you get attached to somebody, you end up having a fear of potentially losing them. And then that fear turns to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Suffering leads to the dark side. Or the suffering is the dark side of the Force. And once you're in the dark side, it's wraps for you. So yeah, it's basically just like, hey, in order to prevent, like, have as much a clean slate as possible, in order to keep us from, you know, having to deal with so many dark side users, let's all be emotionally unattached from folks.
That makes sense.
Which actually, going into, like, another thing I learned is that apparently you can let's see, what's the best way I can say this without getting completely canceled? You can birds and the bees, if you will, without being emotionally attached to somebody, according to the Jedi code. Like,
reasonable.
Which apparently it does happen. So I'm like, what?
I mean, we saw that in House of the Dragons.
But in Star Wars, man, that's crazy.
That's right. So with that, just kind of wrapping up, we can get into our predictions for next week and then just the big picture view.
All right. So my predictions of next week is that May and them, they're going to go to... Like, May's gonna attempt to go after our Wookiee Jedi, but I think he might be one of the stronger ones, to the point where, like, she can't handle him at all, at least by herself, and maybe that's where the Master may step in.
I feel like the Master is gonna be like, yo, you gotta handle all of them yourself to prove yourself.
Potentially. Or it could be a case where she... almost gets the Wookiee, but then that Ocean and them comes in and saves her. So and then of course Vanessa, she gonna come in and be like, hey, what y'all doing? It's gonna stir up more conflict that way. That's my prediction.
I can see that. I feel like the Wookiee Jedi lasts at least two episodes. Just I say that, but at the same time they killed off Trinity in the first 5 minutes of episode one. So I'm not sure. But I do feel like we got a ways to go. She already took out two of the four Jedi that were on the planet, so I'm really interested to kind of just see the path. Big picture view, I think ultimately by the end of episode 8, we see what kind of leads into the start of the fall of the Jedi. I don't think that Sith that we see is Darth Plagueis, or is that how you say it?
Darth Plagueis? Yeah.
I don't think that's him, but I do think we... kind of see the somehow tease into the establishment of the Sith into Palpatine eventually. I don't know who becomes before Plagueis and everything. But...
Tenebris.
Okay, so yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think that's actually a good point. It might actually be Darth Tenebris because of the fact that, considering the timeline that this is 100 years before episode one, that gives you like a... And then we all know like Palpatine was like an adult by the time of episode one.
Like 50s-ish, yeah.
Like, at least the 50s. So, that gives at least 50 years for, like, Palpatine to be born and for Darth Plagueis to come in. So, yeah, it definitely is enough of a time frame for Tenebris to be here.
Nice. All right. Cool. So, anything else we can do our plugs and sign off?
I mean, nah. Just, in my opinion, go watch.
All right. So, just with that, quick housekeeping. Again, we are going to do bi-weekly episodes. So, after this episode... In 2 weeks, you're going to hear our review of episode 3 and 4. again, then we're going to do 5 and 6 together, 7 and 8 together. For this week's main podcast episode, we are doing anime protagonist draft, and then we are also going to be doing reviews of The Boys. So we're going to do, it's because the way they're releasing it is so odd, the first 3 episodes we're going to review together, then we're going to do episodes 4 and 6, and then episodes 7 and 8. So we're going to have 3 reviews of The Boys as well. But with that, we can, I'm looking forward to the Acolyte, because I think it's, there's going to be a lot of twists and turns along the way. So let's get our plugs and get up out of here.
All right. So for our Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter, and Threads, we're BlurredCity22. Like, comment, subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. Stay up to date on our release schedules and upcoming episodes. We have our Discord, LinkedIn, said Instagram page. If you want to join a fine community of degenerates where we send memes and all the likes, go ahead and do that. We also have ourselves our YouTube and Patreon, the Blurred City Pod. If you want to donate some extra cheddar to us and support us via the Patreon, you get access to very exclusive episodes never before seen before. After that, we have ourselves our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. That's where you can submit episode suggestions, questions for Q&A, your thoughts on the Acolyte or The Boys or whatever show you're watching, random fan theories, geek out, freak out, the like. And if you just happen to send us, you know, some criticisms, if you will, or you want to send some hate mail to us, go ahead, because it'll end up in the spam mail never to see the light of day. Finally, I am the Jedi Born on Mustafar on Instagram, as well as the Jedi Ronin on TikTok, however long we got TikTok left. What did you got?
For my individual author pages, we have my Instagram, Metri_Dash, that is Metri_Dash. For my ex, formerly known as Twitter, that is @TheMad-16. And then for my, if you're interested in my book, Fence of Pains, The Most Regular Tale, that is available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. So with that, like we like to say, it's not goodbye forever, so it's goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.